Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. I'm your sister Zeenat, and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To all our listeners out there, we commence our program with our Monday morning focus. And today we'll be looking at the book again, once again, The Ideal Muslimah. And we commence with a brand new chapter. It's called The Muslim Woman and Her Community and Her Society. Today, inshallah, we'll be discussing the Muslim woman's treatment and attitude towards others, inshallah. This will be followed by a very interesting and I believe a very necessary discussion, especially for women. I'll be speaking to Sister Farida Ahmed from the Al Mabrur Investments, and the topic we will be discussing today is women and their wealth. And I think that's a very, very important topic to discuss. Our lines, inshallah, will be open for any of your questions, and the number to dial is 011-854-1548. You can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786. That's 082-84-92-786, inshallah. We have Sister Farida with us in the studio, but we're just going to say assalamu alaikum to her and jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zeenat, and jazakallah khair for having me.
Okay, we'll be speaking to you a little later in the program, and like I said, I think it's a very, very important topic that we will be discussing. But for now, we're going to do the Monday morning focus, the Muslim woman and her community or her society. Well, when it comes to Islamic duties, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when it comes to Islamic duties, the Muslim woman is just like a man. We're supposed to be treated equally. She has a mission in life, and so she is required to be as effective, as active, and as social as her particular circumstances and her capabilities, will allow. And, of course, mixing with other women as much as she can and also dealing with them in accordance with the worthy Islamic attitudes and behavior that distinguish her from other women. So, contrary to other beliefs, of course, you know, where many believe that Muslim women are just, supposed to be at home and cooking and seeing to their children and seeing to, their homes, etc. That is very, very important. Don't forget that. It is very, very important. But we are supposed to be out there dealing with people, especially other women, we're supposed to be out there dealing with other people as well. And it's very, very important for us. Now, whenever the Muslim woman is found, or wherever the Muslim woman is found, she becomes a beacon of guidance and a positive source of correction and education through both her words and her deeds. So Muslim women are just not ordinary women. They are extraordinary. You know, we are, if we go out there, we're supposed to be out there. You know, we need to be different in every way of our lives. We are an invitation to Deen just by looking at us. You know, we're supposed to be, if a different person is to look at you, other people look at you, we become an invitation, a dawah to other people. We're also an inspiration to others in every possible way, inshallah. The Muslim woman who has been truly guided by the Holy Quran and by the Sunnah has a refined social personality of the highest degree, which qualifies her to undertake her duty of calling other women to Islam, opening their hearts and their minds to the guidance of this great religion, which elevated the status of women at a remarkably early stage in their history. So Islam, you know, for women, we were given such high status many, many, many years ago, not now. I mean, when Islam started, we were already given such great status, alhamdulillah. And we were Muslim women are furnished with a vast range of the best of characteristics, alhamdulillah, which are outlined in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Islam has made the acquisition of these characteristics a religious duty for which persons will be rewarded and will be called to account if he or she fails to attain them. So, you know, the way we behave, our attitude in this world, our characteristics is something that we must go out and acquire. If we don't have them, we must go out there and make sure that we get the best, you know, we become the best of Muslim, we become the best of people. And we must go out there and acquire these beautiful characteristics of Islam. And to make us even more beautiful, alhamdulillah. The personality of the woman who is sincere towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a brilliant example of the decent, chaste, polite, Allah-fearing, refined social woman. And that is what we as Muslim women should be. We should have all these beautiful characteristics in us. The Muslim woman who understands the teachings of Islam stands out in every women's gathering she attends. Wherever you go, you will stand out, alhamdulillah. And why? Because we will demonstrate the true value of our religion and the practical application of these values. So we will be practicing, we'll be practicing Muslims. We won't just be standing there with these wonderful qualities. We will be showing them off to other people, alhamdulillah. The makeup of her distinct social character represents those Islamic values which can be seen in her social conduct and her dealings with people. So if a person looks at you, if other people from other religion, from, you know, other whatever it is, if other people look at you, they will know that this is a Muslim woman. Just by looking at her ways, her mannerisms, her characteristics, everything, your attitude towards others should automatically tell another person standing there that this is a Muslim woman. Alhamdulillah. Now, we're going to be looking at her attitudes and her treatment towards others. Alhamdulillah. The Muslim woman is of good and noble character. She's friendly. She's humble. She's gentle of speech. And she's tactful. Alhamdulillah. She likes others and she is liked by them. You know, a Muslim woman would, you know, you don't just go out there and decide, I don't like this person and stay away from that person. You go out there and you like a person. That person may not have all the best of qualities. They may not be people that you know, you wouldn't be liking certain things of a person. But that a Muslim woman doesn't look at all the wrong in a person or all the bad in a person. As a Muslim woman, we look at that one good quality that that person has. Alhamdulillah. And you start working on that good quality. So you don't put a person down just because they have a few bad qualities or they not, you know, my type of person. You need to look. You go to the person. You look for that one good quality of a person. In marriage, it's just as important. You know, where we don't just stop liking or loving that person because they have quite a few bad qualities in them. You need to work at the marriage. You need to look for that one good quality. And in this case, we're talking about our husbands. Maybe they're not everything we expected them to be, but they do sometimes have those wonderful little qualities. Look at those wonderful qualities and start working on those little wonderful qualities. And, you know, alhamdulillah, we can make such a difference in that person's life and in your own life as well. Yes, we said she likes others and is liked by them. By doing so, she's following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, as his servant Anas radiallahu anhu reported, was this is what he said, the best of people in his attitude towards others. That is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the the best of people in his attitude towards others. So he would go out, he was so good to others. He would go out of his way to be the best he could to others. Imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking at, you know, at the bad qualities of people and saying, oh, this person has such bad qualities, I don't think he's going to become a Muslim. We would not have had, he wouldn't have had the success that he had. So we need to, you know, ponder upon these things. It's so important for us to just think about this. So if we meet people, what we do? We look for the good qualities in that person and we start working on those good qualities, inshallah. Look at Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, Anas radiallahu anhu saw more than anyone else of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's good attitude, and he witnessed such good attitudes that no one could imagine it existed in any human being. He told us of one aspect of that noble attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is just one of the many, many, many good attitudes that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And of course, he would know better because he was constantly in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I served the Messenger of Allah for 10 years and he never said to me, oof. Imagine, just imagine ourselves. We have our domestics, we have people working for us, but we are forever shouting at them. We are rude to them. We, you know, we just sometimes very bad to them, really, because we don't get out of them what we want to. But we don't think differently and think like, you know, if we speak to them better, if we, our attitude towards them is different, you know, we're kinder to them, we go out of our way and show them more, you know, how much we can, we just a bit more caring towards them, you know, I promise you, you will get a different person. Even your domestics, we always tend to think that, you know, oh my goodness, they never do, they take advantage of our good nature. We shouldn't be thinking that way. You know, it's just not the right way to think. Like Anas radiallahu anhu said, he never even said oof to him, not even once. And the smallest, not even the smallest word of contempt. If I did anything wrong, this is Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said, why did you do that? He wouldn't even say a thing like that. And we would constantly, you know, the minute you do something wrong, oh my goodness, if just, and I'm just taking our domestics as an example. If she just accidentally drop a glass, you know, we can make such a big scene about it. You know, I don't even want to say what we say. We do say it. And, you know, we need to be very careful about it. Anas radiallahu anhu said, and if I did not do something, he never said, why did you not do such a thing? Again, if our domestics for some reason don't do what they were supposed to do, the roof comes down. But we would not even think of asking them, okay, you didn't do this today, but was there a problem? Perhaps she was not feeling well, you know, or perhaps she had too much to do. And we plan the whole day, and sometimes we can never do whatever we plan. And, you know, we need to think about these things as Muslim women. We need to be so careful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of the best of character, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty said, and you stand on an exalted standard of character. He, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, repeatedly told his sahaba of the effect a good attitude would have in forming an Islamic personality and in raising a person's status in the sight of Allah and of other people. And he would tell them, amongst the best of you are those who have the best attitude towards others. I'm going to repeat that. Amongst the best of you are those who have the best attitude towards others. It's something that we really need to think about, inshallah. Okay, the most beloved to me, this is Rasulullah continues, the most beloved to me and the closest to me on the day of resurrection will be those of you who have the best attitudes. Do we want to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? Then we need to think about our attitude. If we want to be there, he says, the most beloved to me and the closest to me on the day of Qiyamah or resurrection will be those who have the best of attitudes. Attitudes not only to the people you care about, but to everybody around you. And the most hateful to me and the furthest from me on the day of resurrection will be the prattlers and the boasters and the al-mutafayhikun. The Sahaba then said, O Messenger of Allah, we understand who the prattlers and the boasters are. But who are the al-mutafayhikun? He said, the proud and the arrogant. So the al-mutafayhikun are the proud ones and the arrogant ones. So please, respected sisters and brothers out there, we need to be so careful not to be proud and not to be arrogant. The Sahaba, the men and women alike, used to hear the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's noble moral teachings, and they would see with their own eyes the excellent way in which he used to deal with people. So they would obey his words and follow his example. Thus was established this society which has never been equaled by any other in the history of mankind. So alhamdulillah, we're always complaining about our helpers and, you know, whether they be at home, you know, your helpers at home or your helpers at work, at the workplace. But we really need to be kind to them. We need to change our attitude towards them. And I think it's always important for us to, you know, to always just check a little on what background they come from. You know, when we always so ready to scold at them, to shout at them, and to, but we need to always understand what, you know, where do they really come from? What is the problem that they are actually having at home? Because there are some, if they didn't have a problem, they wouldn't want to come out here and work for us. So we need to do that. And also a very, very important thing is to thank them. Do we always say, thank you for helping us this day? When they leave our homes, do we ever thank them for what they have done for us during the day? Well, this is something that we need to think about. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course, was so merciful. Nobody came to him without receiving a promise of his help, which he would fulfill if he had the means to do so. And just one example that I'm going to share with you is, on one occasion, the ikama for prayer had been given when a Bedouin came to him and he took hold of his cloak, you know, and just pulled at his cloak and he said, I still have some matter outstanding and I do not want to forget about it. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately went with him and he resolved the matter and then came back and prayed. Would we do that? Would we tolerate somebody coming to us while we were performing our salah or just while we were just about to start our prayer and somebody comes to you and he says, you know, please, I just need to ask you something before I forget. It's going to, obviously, we'll be so irritated with them and can't you see I want to perform my salah and you're coming with us? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually stopped, you know, went with this person, resolved his problem, and then came back to continue with his salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see anything wrong with listening to the Bedouin and resolving his issue, even though the ikama had already been given. He did not even get upset with the man for pulling at his cloak or his object to resolving the matter before the prayer, because he was building a just society, teaching the Muslims by his example how a Muslim should treat his brother and showing them the moral principles that should prevail in a Muslim community. Inshallah, I'm going to stop there and continue with this next week. And I hope, you know, just by listening to this, but we we will definitely try and just change our attitude towards other people a little bit. I don't say do it overnight, but we can try. We can start from somewhere, inshallah. Well, stay with us, inshallah. When we return, we're going to be having a very interesting discussion with Sister Farida Ahmed from the Al Mabrur Investments. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. On the authority of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if people were to be given just by claiming, then men could claim the fortunes and lives of others. But the claimant must have proof, and the one who denies must take an oath. Related by Al-Bayhaqi.
Radio Islam will be holding its annual general meeting on Sunday, the 30th of August 2015 at the Masjid Salihin Hall, 9:30 a.m. inshallah. Included will be the minutes of the previous AGM, the chairman's address and the audited financial statements. We hereby request our community to attend.
Stantec, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanasia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022 and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Palm Ridge on Monday, the 17th of August, 62 Celta Street, Madrasa area. Contact number 072-909-8659. In Roshni on Tuesday, the 18th of August, on Mukhtar Avenue. Contact number 079-138-4961. Technicians for the Gauteng region. Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
إلا
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me today is Sister Farida Ahmed from the Al Mabrool Investments. And today, like I said earlier in our program, that we're going to be discussing a very, very interesting, hopefully, and a very necessary discussion, inshallah. Our topic today is women and their wealth. Our lines are open for your questions. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. And the SMS or WhatsApp number is 082-8492-786. Yes, assalamu alaikum, Sister Farida. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Zeenat and the Radio Islam listeners. I'm happy to be here with you.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to have you with us. And really, I do think this is a very necessary topic that we're discussing. Very interesting, I hope. And if to our listeners out there, I know there's many women out there that are always wondering what or how do we work and how do we deal with money and what do we do with our money. So please feel free, if you have any questions, to contact us. We'll be, we have Sister Farida with us. She would hopefully give you as much information as she possibly can. Of course, you can also then call her after the program if you want more detailed information, inshallah. Sister Farida, first of all, I'm going to ask you, what is inflation? What are the effects of it? And how does one actually, how does it impact on our daily lives?
Okay, Sister Zeenat, I think where we should actually start is, in fact, where I would like to start is the very reason we as a community at large should be asking ourselves the inevitable question of how do we manage our wealth? Because today, you know, if we don't, we end up in asking ourselves questions and saying in hindsight, why should have? I should have done this or should have done that. But I would like to unpack the issue on the very prevalent inflation conundrum that you've just referred to now. You know, and the fact that we hear about it all the time, it should ring bells in our ears for us to actually find out what this is all about. And let me ask you this then, Sister Zeenat. What happens with every passing second, minute, hour, and even a day? In your mind, your first top of your head response would be,
well, frankly speaking, is I obviously would think, do I have enough money today to do my groceries? That's very important to me, I promise you.
That's one of it, and I suppose one would also, you know, consider the fact that from the fact that I mentioned passing second, minute, hour, and day, I'm referring to time. Mm-hmm. And by this, I mean time goes by very quickly. And absolutely one of the reasons we should consider is the fact that we are all getting older. So now, what do we think about our wealth? I mean, if we are getting older, do we know that as we become older, we can also become poorer? And by that, I'm not meaning that all of a sudden you'll become from wealthy to destitute or impoverished to a large extent. But what I'm saying is that if we don't look after our money, that money, the value of it depreciates if we're not making it grow. So just like, you know, we acquire things to make ourselves healthy, we buy all the necessary vitamins and we do all of these things to make sure we acquire good health, we also need to make sure that our wealth is taken care of. So we need to do many things to acquire a financial freedom status, if that is what we would refer to it as. So for me, if I sit and I talk to my clients, you know, they say this inflation story, and I said, you know, inflation happens at various times. It happens when all the time things become more expensive. You know, if we could buy a chocolate for 20 cents a couple of years ago, and now for 20 cents you can't even buy a Chappie. So that is a very simple and classical example of what inflation does. Although the rand itself has not, if you're referring to the note or the coin or whatever, those don't change in shape and the quantity of the rand.
Oh, they do that.
Yeah, maybe, but they're not, you know, a rand is a rand. If yes. You're counting, if someone gives you 5,000 rand, and if you're counting it, you have 5,000 rand. So 5,000 rand counting today is 5,000 rand that you would have counted 10 years ago. However, the differentiating factor here would be is the fact that that 5,000 rand 10 years ago had more value than the 5,000 rand has now.
Most certainly.
So,
it definitely does.
So that is basically what inflation does. You know, for those of us who say that, yeah, but there's prices that also fall. For example, in the case of cars and computers, all of those things, you know, I can agree, prices do fall. But they fall more because of the fact that there are more efficient ways of manufacturing these products. And obviously the competition out there gets tight. So what these organizations or manufacturers do is they ensure that they get the best prices, you know, so that they can, or that's cost effective, so they can sell it at better prices and make better profits for themselves. So in this way, you think that things are becoming cheaper, yes? 20 years ago, you could pay 25,000 rand for a standard little computer. Today, you can buy a laptop for 5,000 rand. So there are prices that have reduced. I mean, TVs as well. People look at these things and say, yeah, I paid so much then. Look at it now. So, yeah, those are all the other things that come into play where organizations try to get your wallet share. They try to get as much money out of you by making you think things are cheaper. But in the own end, the money that you've got set aside might not necessarily be growing at the same rate that inflation is eating away at it. So for me, I'd like people to consider, you know, ways of making their money work for them and to find out what is best suited, especially, you know, if I refer to the Radio Islam listeners, we look at products that are Sharia compliant first and foremostly. That should be our first prize. Are we maintaining, you know, the halalness, if you want to call it, of our money? You know, are we putting it into places that allows us to benefit from, you know, what is lawful and not unlawful?
Just on that point, I think, unfortunately, like as women mostly, we really don't know where to put our money or what to do with our money or what is the right, you know, where is the right places to put our money in or how to actually make more money.
Yeah, that's true. I think the point to note also that is that inflation, you know, is like time. It cannot be felt, it cannot be seen, or it cannot be heard. It's just like one grows older due to the passage of time. Inflation also causes the value of one's possessions to fall and therefore makes one poorer, if one looks at it in that way. So inflation, you know, affects everything, whether you are buying a house, clothing, etc., anything, you know, that you do or spend money on, inflation eats away at it. So it reduces the value of the rands that you hold. And it is important to note also that this happens to not just the rands in cash, but people also may have rands that they've put into the bank or into other forms of investment. So this can also deplete if it's not growing at a rate slightly more or equal to that of inflation. The effects then that what inflation has is it reduces the value of anything that you may have acquired previously and therefore makes you poorer in a sense, but not necessarily like I said where you now become destitute, but what you have anticipated to have, if you put money away 5 years ago and you had 10,000 rand, and in 2 years' time you say, you know, that 10,000 rand might have grown or whatever, so now you go and you want to draw the funds, and what you could have done with that money 5 years ago, you're not going to be able to do with it now, and that's when you're going to realize, I should have had it in investment that was growing at least the rate of inflation, so that I'm not sitting with a situation saying this money has actually not got much value at this point in time.
Yeah, I think that's so important, because what we end up doing is we just save the money. because we don't know what to do with the money, what we do is, if even if it's just in a bank, we're just going to save the money and that's it. It may get less, but it certainly is not going to get more.
I think many people put their monies into bank accounts or stuff because it's more a security element than anything else. They feel that the money is safe there. I guess, you know, depending on the amount of information you do have at your disposal regarding investments, one would feel safer because I know the bank, I know they've been around for a long time, so let me put the money there and I will get my money out in 10 years or whatever the case may be. But the only, you know, there's one way really to retain value in your money and, of course, still be able to buy those 100 chocolates without having to work extra, is to make sure that the value of your cash as well as the investment that you have also grows. In other words, the rate at which the value of your investment grows should at least be the same or more than the rate at which inflation, you know, allows that money to fall. So the result will be that you will have a higher price, in, you know, but the same value. So in other words, you could probably be sitting with, in 5 years' time, hypothetically speaking, if you've invested 100,000. Say you've done exceptionally well in whichever portfolio you've invested in, and you're now sitting with 150,000 in 5 years' time. So although it is grown, like I say again, in the cash, so the value at that point in time will be the same to you as it was if it was 100,000 5 years ago, if you get where I'm coming from. So although the money is growing, yes, it's growing, but it's going to serve the purpose for you in 5 years' time. If you're not going to invest and you allow the money to stagnate in a place where it's safe, and I can't, the listeners can't see me, but I'm putting that inverted commas on the word safe, you basically could end up sitting in a situation where that money is basically not going to give you what you thought it would give you from the time that you'd put it into that account. So before that happens, one should look at the various products that are out there and see what the returns on the investment is that you're, you know, getting from it. So you don't end up losing, but rather you gain, if not gaining, but at least you're able to do something with the money at the time that you need access to it.
Yeah, I think this is important because most of the time we, and I'm talking about us as women, some of the women, of course some of them know exactly what to do with their money, but there are some of us that really don't know. And I'm talking about, you know, we work from home, many of us work from home, or we have these little bits of savings that we by the end of the month have so much of money making samosas, or we, whatever we do, you know, we do a little bit and we save our money all the time. We may inherit a little money and it's going to stay there for forever because we don't know what to do. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we tend to use up that money because we may not have had it. And now that we have it, we just start spending.
Go shopping till you drop.
Yeah, we just start spending. And before you realize it, there's nothing left of that little money that you have. And I think it's so important for so many of us out there to learn how to actually invest this money. So what is to be done? What do you do if you have this money with you?
Yeah, I think this is where investment options play a pivotal role in planning and securing our financial futures. You know, one can either invest in some business or trading or real estate, or, you know, there's the stock markets if you are able to determine whether they're Sharia compliant or not.
Yeah, but many of us don't know about all this.
And
I think that's where the big question comes in. How do we find out? What do we do? How do we do it?
Okay. Of course, then there's also the alternative Sharia compliant investment options, which has come about in great numbers these days. I mean, people are becoming a lot more aware of the Sharia compliant issue, and that's where the products are coming from. You know, people are accessing these products through their brokers, or you know, through people that they may have heard from that have invested in other types of investments. I think with us, we've done some advertising as well, and there are a few other organizations. I'm not going to mention names, but we all have our fair share out there in the market, and I guess we appeal to the investor that finds value in our products. The common issue, though, that people always come up with is, how risky is it? You know, the risk is always an issue. But I guess in all forms of investments, there's always going to be risk. It's just that how one manages it and controls the risk. Just like, you know, we have regular exercises and nutritious foods are necessary, in, you know, to stay young and healthy, we should also acquire and apply the relevant knowledge and understanding that we have of these products, or to ensure that our wealth grows in a value at a rate better than inflation. So there's many ways. I mean, I guess everybody has either you know, whether it's their husbands or their brothers or their fathers or, you know, people that they know of that have the knowledge in terms of wealth management, is to speak to them. I mean, to find out, you know, this is what I have. How much can this do for me? Where am I able to gain optimal use out of this in the future? And then, you know, in case of women, women are generally not comfortable just talking to anybody. And I guess this is where, you know, my role plays a big difference in our company, where a lot of the women are comfortable with me because they're speaking to a woman. Sometimes they're not really open wanting to sit with a man or stranger and, you know, talk about their financial situation or how they would best deal with the money that they've either inherited, or they may have small businesses like you mentioned. So we do go out and we you know, assist people to help them to best place their money in a, you know, in a way that suits them and obviously meets their needs on an ongoing basis. If I can talk about Alma Brewery itself as an organization.
Okay, before we do that, you know, there's something that we always tend to do because, especially nowadays and with the banking and all that, we end up going into this Sharia banking or what do you call it? Islamic banking and Sharia banking. How safe is all that? And, you know, tell us a little about it if you know a little about it.
I'm going to reserve, and this is my personal opinion. It's not something that necessarily comes from the organization that I represent. But for me, you know, banks always, you know, stand out as very much as the normal commercial banks. They obviously hold on to the money that you put in the safety accounts or whether it's savings accounts or fixed deposits or whatever, and actually the money obviously gets loaned out or they do things with the money. I would not say that they're not Sharia compliant because it's not my place to do that. Obviously you as an individual would need to ask yourself, how sure am I? And if you are comfortable and there is no doubt in your mind that this serves your purposes, then bismillah, I guess people would go ahead and do it anyway. But if you're asking me personally, I have my doubts, and the fact that I have doubts makes me stay away from it. I do have an Islamic bank account, yes, for obvious reasons, as though that I don't, you know, have anything in terms of interest going into my account, and it's basically a transactional account, so money going in, money going out, but it's not a platform for me to be saving my money. I don't utilize those platforms to save my money.
Mm-hmm. And I think basically that's the reason you do it, because you don't want to be dealing with interest in any way, and hopefully, inshallah, that is what one thing that, one plus, I hope,
Jeez.
Inshallah. Okay, we'll take a short break. When we return, inshallah, you can tell us more about the Al Mabrur, tell us more about that and
investment options,
our prospective investors, inshallah. Stay with us, we'll be back in a few moments.
Sharma's Spice World. Sana Super Kernel Low GI Basmati Rice 5 kg 99.90. Pan Oil 5 liter 74 rand. Shan Assorted Masala 6 pack of the same variant 60 rand. Sharma Dishwashing Liquid 5 liter 21 rand. Noor Jahan Basmati Rice 5 kg 99 rand. Cool baked beans 410 grams 3 for 22.50. 5 roses 200 tea bags 48 rand. Fruit tree juices 1 liter 12 rand. Contact us on 011-852-5568 or visit us at 50 Hemsbox Street Extension 2, Lenasia.
As the violence increases, and with no end in sight to the current crisis in Syria, many continue to flee their homes, seeking shelter in temporary tent villages. In an effort to restore the dignity of the Syrian people, the Al Imdad Foundation has embarked on a project to convert tent homes to semi-permanent container homes. Donate online at alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
The Lenasia Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic Fertini education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawabi Jariyah for you. The Lenasia Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawabi Jariyah by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA tent will keep the wheels turning of serving Madrasa and Masjid.
Stantec, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Cuckoo Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022 and receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In Zirist, on Monday, the 17th of August, Zirist Masjid, corner Saddle Sillias and Queen, 018-642-2438 or 018-642-1344. In Lichtenberg, on Tuesday, the 18th of August, 94 Kismet Avenue, contact 018-632-3186 or 083-786-3586. In Rustenburg, on Wednesday, the 19th of August, 83 Holker Street, opposite the school, contact 082-897-7863 or 018-538-1656. Technicians for the miscellaneous regions are Abed Boraji 079-810-4390 or Isa Kaunda 078-675-5425. Please bring along your remote for retuning.
Radio Islam, your favorite learning station.
أنتم تستمعون إلى إذاعة الإسلام.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. My guest is Sister Farida Ahmed from the Al Mabrur Investments. We're talking about women and their wealth, and we're now going to look at how the Al Mabrur, what it's all about and what it has to offer to prospective investors. Jazakallahu khair once again for joining us, Sister Farida.
Only my pleasure, Jazakallah, Sister Zenith. Your question obviously is very relevant. And firstly, Al Mabrur Investments started in 2011. Our prime objective then and still is now is to provide those sensitive to Sharia compliance with products that are 100% Sharia compliant. You know, our products have been developed with the help and guidance of Mufti Ibrahim Desai and Mufti Imran Vauda, and from the Darul Iftah Inshaw with Durban. Both of them exceptionally well versed in, you know, Islamic finance and Sharia compliance in business and so forth as well. Our products obviously administered and are independently run from the Darul Iftah, so they're basically not getting involved in the whole management process of the investment process as such, but they do put together the products. So once they've concluded a product and given us the go-ahead and certified it's Sharia compliant, we would then market it to prospective investors. So we basically, as Al Mabrur Projects, manage that whole process, whether it be the investments into our property, our cattle, our buffalo, or into our vehicle finance pool as well. We manage that process, but all these products have been designed by the ulama themselves, okay?
Alhamdulillah.
And like you just said now, we have successfully put together these four products. These offerings also suit the needs of our investors. And there are many investment products available out there, obviously, on the market. And however, for the conservative and the conscientious Muslim, concerned that the income must be pure, permissible, and halal, the vast majority of products are simply not an option. Okay, so with Al Mabrur, we stand out from amongst all the available investment products in that it has been designed by the ulama itself, like I mentioned earlier. And we are obviously proud to be associated with and work under the strict guidance and, of course, supervision of the Darul Iftah. Our portfolio includes property ownership through a common law partnership, and our vehicle finance project affords investors an opportunity to invest in the vehicle finance market. Both these products are providing investors with above average or monthly incomes, as well as capital growth and profit sharing, respectively. So in terms of the property, they would get capital growth, and in terms of the vehicle finance, there's profit sharing at the end of each fiscal year. Mm-hmm. The one and other most, one of the most exciting ones is the Buffalo Breeding Project, which many people, and I'm sure I've seen that interest in your face when you saw it.
Okay, yes, we don't have much time, and I want you to please go through these, the Buffalo Breeding Project and, of course, the cattle feeding products and whatever else you feel is very important for us right now. So
I'll sum it up quickly because I could go on forever, but I'll just in a nutshell, you know, the Buffalo Project is obviously my absolute favorite. in that it offers investors the opportunity to partake in the very lucrative wildlife industry. You know, game farming has grown in leaps and bounds in South Africa over the last decade, and has become an industry that has a great economic potential. And for those that have invested and those who are involved in that industry, I mean, they speak for even a day about how well it is doing. So prospective investors should see this as a five-year project, so a little bit longer-term investment. But it offers excellent returns and capital growth as well, you know, because of the offspring that are born from these nucleus herds. We get good returns when they go to auction, obviously, when they're selling off the offspring to realize the returns. And, of course, as the herd size increases, it increases the capital growth of the group that owns the herd. So I would, if I go into much detail now, we're not going to have enough time. So if there's anybody interested in, you know, asking me more about it, they're more than welcome to send me an email or contact me. We then also have, and I this for me stands out, and predominantly amongst the ladies or women as such, is that this product is well liked and received because it's a shorter term. You know, there's a 12-month period of which you're able to invest your money. And to, you know, make it even more beneficial to women is that they're able to draw dividends every 4 months. At the end of, from the time that they invest money, you know, at the end of a 4-month period, they would be able to draw their first dividend, which then also offers them that flexibility of having money available every 4 months. Then there's the property obviously gives us the one that where you can draw dividends on a monthly basis, and so does our vehicle finance portfolio. You know, these products are all structured in such a way that it's suited to the needs of the investor. So it's best that they contact me so I can determine what it is that they need from the money that they do have and how would they like to then benefit from it, whether it's a short-term or long-term, and whether they need an income immediately or whether they're able to put it away for a longer period of time. So, yeah, that's basically our products in a nutshell.
Okay, now, that has truly been a very informative discussion, alhamdulillah. I know it's very short, though, and it seems you would need probably another program to discuss, you know, more in detail. Unfortunately, time is really very limited. For the benefit of our listeners, how can they find out more about these products and, you know, who can they contact?
Okay, they are more than welcome to contact me on my number, which is 082-662-8627, or they can send me an email to Farida at almabroorprojects with an S at the end .com, and I will gladly assist them. It's not a problem at all.
Inshallah. And also in closing, what would you like to say to our sisters out there especially?
You know, I was obviously sitting with you here now in studio, and I heard you talk about women and our characters and how we have been afforded, you know, rights and empowerment before I think Western society even understood the word empowerment or women empowerment. So for me, as a woman in Islam, you know, having given that right to own property and businesses from the time of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have been empowered before, like I said, Western society even embarked on the issue of empowering women. So it is only fair that we do justice to ourselves by making informed decisions about our wealth and to take advantage of the fact that there are opportunities out there where we're able to invest, you know, in our future and doing it the Sharia-compliant way. And it's not a case of where I only have so much, you know, and it's not enough and whatever. I think the less amount of money that you have, you can make it grow. So it's, you know, you don't have to have the millions to make it grow. You can start small, and that eventually becomes, you know, your little growth plan that you have for yourself in the future.
And I think that is very, very important to many of us, you know, because you don't want to be sitting, like you say, when you grow older, become poorer.
I think a lot of people wake up in hindsight and they say, I should have. And I think we need to, you know, accept that now we should not be shooting. We should be actually taking the action and doing what we have to.
Doing something about it. Yes, I think so too. Well, jazakallah khair, Sister Farida, for coming in to do this program with us. And I hope to have a chat with you again in the future, inshallah. Maybe we can talk more about this.
Not a problem.
I think it's important because so many of us really don't know how to deal with money, and I think this would be great. Anyway, anybody interested, please call Sister Farida on this number 082-662-8627, or you can email her at farida@almabroorprojects.com. Is that it? Well, jazakallahu khair once again, and with that we come to the end of this program. Assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Farida.
Wa alaikum assalam, and to Radio Islam listeners as well.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.